Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Come on, one more time. Why don't we give the Lord a big, big clap and thank Him for everything He's done, everything He's going to do. Oh, I think we can do better than that on a Sunday night. It's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Come on. Why don't we just lift our hands in the presence of God and believe God for miracles. God, we thank You, Lord, that we've created a space for You. Lord, Your word promises if we make room for You, You'll fill it. And Lord, I pray for every person needs a miracle. Lord, perhaps a broken heart needs to be healed tonight. Maybe that's the big miracle. Fear and anxiety over your life. The Bible says, who the Son sets free, be free indeed. Maybe it's a financial miracle. Maybe that's the thing. Come on, lift your hands if you need it, because God's here today. Everything can change in a 30-second moment. Everything can change in the presence of God. Something can turn for you. Maybe there's been that bad report. Maybe you're watching online and you've had that bad report of leukemia. Or maybe you're here today. The doctors have said it's your forever. It's not true. By His stripes we are healed. And so we lift our hands again, believing, fully confident, that something's going to turn, something's going to shift for us. This is the day. Come on, church. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise in this place. Isn't He good? Oh, He's good. He's so kind. Come on, have a seat. Turn to somebody and just say, I like Andrew. Just prophesy that already. Just say it one more time. I really like him. He's such a good guy. I wish I lived in New Zealand or Australia. You know, Pastor Luke, thank you for that very kind introduction. He did again forget, they have not once mentioned my wife on my introduction. I don't know what's going on. It's like she doesn't exist. But she does exist. In fact, I've been married 18 years just a few weeks ago. 18 years, a miracle. A miracle that she lasted. And the truth is that when I met Janine, I liked her. I said, I'm going to marry you. And it was a really great, great experience, actually. And 18 years later, we've got two beautiful boys, and we're blessed because of that. It's interesting, you know, a lot of people walk past our resource center, and they see the photo of Janine, you know, they see Janine, and then they look at me, and it's a, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, how did you get Janine, you know, because obviously she's just a little bit better looking, she's modeled in Paris, and, you know, done amazing things, And so I asked God, I said, God, you know, how did this work out? And He told me straight away. He said, son, it's because you tithed while you were younger. And I thought, wow, that kind of makes sense. Because I gave 15%, and that's why I just got a little bit better than most. If you're sitting beside a 10%er, that's your fault. I can't, there's only so many miracles I can do. I can't fix that. But I found out later that Janine never gave. Some of you go, what? That's kind of, anyway. Truly, Janine has got one of the most incredible stories of her life, where she really had difficulty with anorexia and bulimia and all these kinds of things. I haven't shared this story yet, but 6 months into our marriage, Janine was attacked again in her workplace, which brought on the anorexia and bulimia again. I was ill-equipped to handle the situation. I think it's important to illustrate this, not just sell resource, but I want to talk to you about this process, because our youth ministry was our nation's largest. We had our nation's largest youth conference, and my wife rings me up. The doctor rings me up, and Janine's in a institution, you know, like trying to get her mindset free. She self-admitted herself into a mental institution. And the doctor said, you know, your wife's really sick. The doctor said to Janine, Janine, we can medicate you and you will be medicated for the rest of your life. And because of the torment in your mind. But we can never heal you. And Janine said to the doctor right then, well, that's not good enough. And I'm so proud of my girl because she got out of that hospital. And when we met that afternoon, I think we just cried together for about 3 hours. And I said to Janine, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix what you're going through. And of course, it was really horrific. And Janine said, well, we'll have to pray. And for 3 months, we prayed and fasted, and God showed her 7 things that she can do to receive her miracle. One of them was to read the Bible morning and night. It may sound like a simple thing, but it was a powerful thing for us. And one of the things that God showed her, because she had been a vegetarian for 7 years, hadn't eaten meat for 7 years, and God said, I want you to go to eat meat. God's a good God, friends. He's so kind. He's so caring. He knows what you need. But friends, listen to me. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Because Janine went to the supermarket. I went with her. She brought her first steak. I was there when she put it on the grill, and the very smell of it was making her feel sick. I was there when she cut the little slither and put it in her mouth and she ate it. Friends, how much do you want your miracle? What will you do for your miracle? You see, I believe that the miraculous is a two-sided coin. It's the instantaneous and it's the process, and that God works in both. And as Janine and I processed for 3 months, believing God for the 7 things that God showed her to do to set her mindset free, the Bible says that you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Janine talks in her story how that she would look in the mirror, like your bathroom mirror, but actual voices would come out of it. The devil's so sneaky. He would say to her, Janine, you're not pretty. You're never going to achieve. But you know what? Janine was able to stand strong, come against those voices, now travels the world telling people there's a pathway to freedom. Your mind can be free. And it would be my agenda. Go ahead, give God a clap. I thank God for my wife's testimony, her bravery. You know, it is my agenda that every girl, every mum would get this CD. And we ran out this morning, so we've got a whole bunch more printed tonight so that you can resource yourself. But I'm believing that people here today are going to receive your miracle. The devil's lied to you far too long. And you know, it's such a great honor for me to be at the Rock Church. You know, your pastors are incredible pastors. We love them. I was talking to Janine. I said, you're going to love this whole family. And she said, you know, she was just at another church in Brisbane, and everybody's friends. And she says, oh, they love you. And I said, oh, you're going to love them. And it's kind of like this big love fest. And it's so exciting. But, you know, can I just brag on Pastor Jim for just a little bit? Can I just tell you that Pastor Jim and Deborah Cobray are my heroes? Like, when I was growing up, there's a common friend, Pastor Mark, was saying, he said, you've got to meet Pastor Jim. He is one of the most integrous guys, one of the most anointed guys. He does his heart for the lost, heart for the house. He said, you're gonna love him. And you know what? Every time I'm around Pastor Jim, I just want to keep being around him. You know, he's that kind of guy. You just want to keep being around him. Every word he says, I feel like it's anointed. I was hearing Pastor Deborah praying as we always do in the prayer sanctuary. I've got saved again. Just in that one prayer, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm saved again. Can we honor your founding pastors of this church and thank them for everything they do? Thank you. I honor you. I honor the pulpit. I appreciate. I'm blessed being here. I don't take this for granted. Thank you for all you do. I appreciate you. They are great people. You know, behind every great man, they normally say, is a great wife. And I concur. You know, we make New Year's resolutions. We pray in the new year. We pray for our dreams. We pray over our kids. I prophesy over my kids every year, and I speak life into them. And but I think it's unfair. My wife makes resolutions for me, and I think that's unfair. I think you're allowed to make your own resolutions, you know what I mean? But one of Janine's making like a wish list for me. I'm like, baby, just leave me alone. Last year was a tough year for my family. I'm the youngest of eight in my family. In New Zealand, it's very cold. That's why there's so many children. It's like, anyway. My dad had a heart attack, and my brother had a heart attack. And Janine said to me, "You've got to get your heart checked out." I said, "Baby, I'm a healing evangelist. I'm above all that. I don't need to get my heart checked out." She said, "You better do it." And like, she was like, you know, like that Proverbs woman, just drip, 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 drip. Is this recorded? Rewind that bit. No, she's like, but she's just encouraging me all the time. So I'm just thinking, well, I'm just going to get down to that hospital. So I got down to the hospital, met my cardiologist. He's putting all these patches on me. I'm on a little treadmill running away, passed with flying colors, of course. I'm a healing evangelist. Then I have to get dye put in my body, you know, and they put you in this machine and they check out there's no blockages in your heart. And, you know, again, pass. And I think, well, fantastic. We're sitting, the cardiologist is talking to me just about, you know, just being careful of what I eat and how I'm living. And he says, "But Andrew," he said, look at the lumps on your neck. And I said, "What lumps?" He goes, "You've got lumps on your neck." I said, "I haven't got lumps." He said, "Come over to the mirror." And of course, I've got lumps. And he said, "You need to go to your GP. And it's all in the same building, you understand? So my doctor's there, and so I make an appointment. I see the person straight away. She says, "You've got lumps." I said, "Yes. Thank you for telling me." She said, "If you've had leukemia for 5 years, and you know, like, lumps aren't good. If you've had cancer before, no lumps anywhere are good." She said, "You need to go and get an ultrasound on these lumps to find out what's going on." Do you know, have you ever walked into the doctor's happy? Have you ever done that? You're walking and they're like, "Ooh, one little word, you got a lump. Now you got a lump." I hate lumps. And so now, within like minutes, I'm lying in this like dressing gown, and the guy's got the gel and he's looking at my ultra scan and he's looking at it, and I'm thinking, "Janine, this is all your fault." And and he's looking at the lumps, and there's a nurse beside him, and he's like a young guy, and the nurse is like this cute little blonde, and he's making moves on the nurse while he's doing my ultrasound. Don't you know that the patient is listening to everything you're saying? So then he's going, "Oh, that looks all right. Yeah, And then he goes, "Oh." Don't make noises when you're doing somebody's ultrasound. He goes, "Oh." And I say, it's not cancer. I didn't mean to be offensive, but I just said it just straight away. And he says, "Well, I'm the expert, I'll decide." And I said, "Well, I know my body and it's not cancer." And he goes, "Well, the biopsy is gonna decide who's right." So I'm angry now, not just upset, like I'm like Grumpy Smurf. I'm driving home, I'm annoyed at the doctors, I'm annoyed at Janine, I'm just annoyed at the life, I'm annoyed at ultrasounds. I'm just annoyed about everything. Have you ever been there, friends, where it's just not the way you thought your day was going to turn out? I rang my friend who's a church prayer intercessor. I thought, I'm going to tell that one person who I know would hide it in their heart and just pray. I decided that I was going to tell my wife, Janine, and my two boys, so we could pray together and just believe God that something amazing would happen. I told Janine, she said, "Don't worry, it's going to be okay. God's healed you before, he's going to heal you again. There's not a problem." I said, "Thanks, sweetheart." My 13-year-old says, "Dad, it's going to be fine. We're going to pray, everything's going to turn around." I said, "Thanks." My 11-year-old looked at me and laughed. I looked at him and he said, "Dad, why are you even worried? All you have to do is practice what you preach." And when he said that, like the Spirit of God came upon me. And what Johnny was saying as he's prophesying into me, "Dad, just do what you already know. Do what you already know. Dig the well again. Do what you already know. And church, isn't that a picture of us? If we just did what we already knew, we'd be way ahead of the curve. If we just did what we heard from this pulpit and applied it to our life, we'd be way ahead of the curve. Come on, if you believe that today. Look at this. You're all wondering what it is. It's a photo of myself. No, it's not. It's a mirror. Look at this, what the Bible says about a mirror. In James, it says this. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man or a woman who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like. But the person who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and and continues to do it, not forgetting what he's heard, he will be blessed in what he does. Friends, when's the last time, you know, you looked at the mirror? When's the last time you were honest with yourself? Are you doing what you already know? You're looking at the Word of God, hearing the Word of God day after day, Sunday after Sunday. But then we walk away and we forget, we don't apply what's in our life. The Bible says, if you look intently, keep on looking, keep on applying, it says you will be blessed. Well, I want to be that blessed person. Quickly, I feel like God showed me some things that I needed to do as a healing evangelist to receive my healing. And I think perhaps God wants to talk to somebody here about that for you. You know, the first thing God said to me is, Andrew, seek me. You know, it says, but seek first the kingdom of righteousness and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, when God's in the center of something, it's like there's no need to worry. You know, fear goes. Everything else disappears. The Bible says when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil. Why? Because God is with you. He is walking with you. Seeking God is the key. Coming to church is not seeking God necessarily. I mean, it is. But what God is saying is, when's the last time you actually went looking for him beyond church? I'm a romantic. Have you ever walked along the beach or wherever you are, you're praying, but your mind drifts? So you're praying, God, I'm the worst at that. I'm praying about something and then all of a sudden I'm thinking about something else. You see, when I met Janine, let me just tell you how awesome I am. When I met Janine, I really liked her. Our first date, I did something really special. I went and I got a beautiful evening dress. I was like 26, it cost me $300 back then. It was like more money than I'd ever spent on anything. And so I put it in a box, I wrote a poem. I put the poem in a box, had a big black bow over it. My friend dressed up with a tuxedo, knocked on her door, gave it to her as my first date. Said, I'll pick you up at 7 o'clock. I hired a limousine. I wasn't in the limousine to pick her up at 7 o'clock, hoping she'd hop in it. In the limousine was 2 dozen red roses. The limousine came and picked me up and we went out for dinner at a fine dining restaurant. Then we went to a show where Julio Iglesias was singing. All the girls I've loved before, in and out and around my door. And Janine was going, oh, she had the right dress on it. You know, and I was really excited. And then this was happening, and then we went for supper, and we're having a coffee. It was a beautiful lounge place. There was over 300 people easily in the lounge. The lead singer of the musical Cats was my best friend. She comes up to our table. Everybody knew who she was. And she said, are you Miss Janine Gray? That was Janine's maiden name. And she goes, yes. And she said, would you accompany me to the grand piano? And my friend is a concert pianist for the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, and he was playing. And the poem that I wrote wasn't a poem, it was a song. And she sung it in front of all the people. And Janine said, if I had have said, asked her on the first date to marry her, she would have said yes. It worked, it worked. You gotta wheel her in, man. She was way too good for me. I had to do all my tricks. Every year I've tried to do something, because the Bible says don't lose your first love. Why does it say that? Because you can. The hardest thing for me oftentimes as a pastor is when you're counseling a husband and a wife and you're trying to convince him that she's still great. And you're trying to convince her that he's still awesome. But they've lost that first love. They've lost the spark. They haven't seeked. They haven't courted each other. I'm praying and I'm thinking about our wedding anniversary. And God says to me, what about me? I said, God, what about you? He said, when's the last time you actually sought me? I said, God, I'm good. I'm in church more times than most. I pray every morning. He said, when's the last time you really sought me? God took me back to my Bible college days. He took me back to my Bible college when I was 19 years old, holding the Bible for the first time, somebody was teaching me the Word of God. I remember day after day weeping as the Bible was explained to me. I remember stealing the chapel key. We had a beautiful chapel, and I would take my sleeping bag and my pillow, and I would sleep in the chapel because I just wanted him to know that he knew that I knew I was looking for him. I came home to Janine, and I was thinking to myself, this is a little bit awkward, baby. But I said, I don't want to sleep with you tonight. She said, really? What's going on? I said, darling, I want to sleep in church. I want to sleep in our chapel. She said, why? And I said, well, I just want him to know I'm looking for him. She said, don't you think that's strange? I said, yeah. But I said, I don't care. I'm desperate. I've got a friend who looks after their church. I felt like a criminal. You know, after I tucked all my kids in, I kind of snuck into church, opened the chapel, got my sleeping bag and my pillow. Friends, I wish I had to tell you that I saw an angel that night. I wish I could tell you that I heard the audible voice of God saying that everything was going to be okay. I didn't even sleep that good. But I want you to know that I'm committed, and we should be committed to look for him. When's the last time you got carried away in the presence of God? When's the last time you said, you know what, even being in church, I'm just going to linger on the altar. I'm just going to linger and stay. I'm going to court. I'm going to look for God. Because when God is in the center, there's no reason to fear. God's talking to me. He said, Andrew, the first thing that you need to do is to come into my presence. The second thing is to surround yourself. You know, it says in Psalm 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but delights his law in the Lord, of the Lord day, and meditates on it day and night. That's what Janine was doing. The person is like a tree planted beside streams of water and yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. And I love that whatever you do prospers. You know what he's actually saying? He's saying, don't stand in the seat of mockers. Don't hang around ungodly people. I mean, we don't take advice from the ungodly. We witness to the ungodly. We don't take counsel from them. We witness to them. It's a difference. But you know, when I married Janine, the story's not all about Janine, but when I married Janine, it was so different. Like my Christmas and my family and Janine's Christmas and her family, like when I met Janine, like all her family served God. That it was like going to the Waltons. They all holding hands. They all loved each other. They're all praying for my family is like the mafia. I'm not, it's like, hey, what's going on? You know, it's the mafia. Janine's like, You know, it's like, I'm like, who are you? It was like an absolute night and day experience. If I told my family that I had lumps on my neck, like my family are crazy. Like one of my brothers, he would say, oh yeah, Auntie June. Yeah, she had only two lumps and she lasted 6 weeks. Oh, don't get your hopes up, Andrew. I mean, that conversation actually could happen. Has anybody got a crazy family member? That conversation's actually gonna happen. And no. It doesn't even stop there. Then they'll ring every other family member. Come on, somebody. Telling them, hey, Andrew's got a lump. He's gonna die. You know it's true. Why tell? Don't tell negative people a bad report expecting a positive response. Why are you fighting witchcraft? That word's like witchcraft. Why are you fighting it when you've created it? You're the one who's told negative people a negative report expecting a positive result. It's not gonna happen. And then you're wondering why you're fighting for your miracle when you're the one who created it. You're the one who's created the tension, more troubles coming your way because of your silliness. The Bible says power of life and death and what? In your words. Who told you that prayer doesn't have power? Who told you reading the Word of God was a preference? That coming to church was some kind of option? Prayer has got power. The Word of God, it's transformed everything in your life. Coming to church is the house of God, the house of miracles. It's family. The devil tries to tempt us, take us away, pull us away. We tell people bad reports, expecting a different result. It's insanity. Tell godly people. That's why the Bible, I think, says when you're sick, come to church. Come to the Rock Church. Let them elders. Why elders? Because they are proven. They are godly people. Let them anoint you with oil. Why? Because they've got faith inside of you. Faith inside of them. They're not going to speak a negative report. They're going to say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. They're going to say, something's going to turn for you. Something's going to shift for you. Something's going to, this is the day. They're going to say it. They're going to believe. They're going to stretch. Come to church. Keep your mouth closed for those negative people. But tell godly people so that they can pray in faith. I feel like I'm getting excited now. I wonder if the worship team could come and join me. You know, I talked about it. Truly I say to this one, truly I say, if anyone says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say, it will happen for them. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Great verses. You know when it says, I tell the truth, anyone who says to the mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt, but believes what they say. Just underscoring again that sometimes your words are as powerful as prayer. It doesn't say pray to the mountain. It says speak to the mountain. You know, truly, I'm preaching to myself. I went to the mirror. The mirror is pretty powerful, isn't it? I remember looking at the lumps. Have you ever done it? Look at a lump, you go, man, it's pretty big, isn't it? It's annoying. I started speaking to that mirror. Started saying to it, mountain, move. I'm telling you, cancer, get off me. Every lump, every little bump, in the name of Jesus, I declare it healed. I couldn't wait to go to bed. Have you ever prayed at night and you're waking up and you just like want to go to the mirror to see how it's gone? You know, the first day, I didn't feel like there was any change. But that didn't stop me. Sometimes you have to do what you already know, church. Keep on praying. Keep on declaring that mountain's going to move. Keep on praying. Speak to it. Speak to it. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing over my body. I started saying scriptures over myself. Digging the well again. Came to church, took the altar call. I'm the healing evangelist. Who cares? Took the altar call for healing. Got my elders to pray for me. And pastors, could care less. Well, what will people think? I don't care. I just want to be healed. I wonder if somebody in this church wants to be healed tonight. Speak to the mountain. It says if you believe. This morning I was talking about belief. What do we believe? I'm telling you, God can do it. He's amazing. They did the biopsy. So the lump was still there. It was smaller. They did the biopsy. They said, you know, there's no cancer. I said, yeah, of course. I'm a healing evangelist. Amen. Rang up Janine. Fine. She said, oh, I knew it'd be fine. Why don't you tell me? You know, we all go through things, huh? We will. But I kind of feel like sometimes, church, listen, let me just be Pastor Andrew today. If we just did what we already knew, we'd be way ahead of the curve. Just to dig that well again. What do I know about healing? What do I know about God? Just start practicing. Practicing doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're just trying to get better. But I know that God's going to do something awesome. You know, tonight, we've got time. You know, we always do this before we pray for miracles because we're asking God for a miracle. That's where our help comes from. But isn't it true that when we're asking God for help, help in our marriage, help in our finances, help in our physical state, that we should already know where we're at with God. So many people come to me and say, Andrew, I want God to do a miracle in my life. I go, man, that's so awesome. I said, when's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you know God? Do you know Him? They go, no, we don't know Him. I said, well, let's just get that worked out first. And then let's ask God for the miracle. Honestly, church, when's the last time you just looked in the mirror and you're honest with yourself? Just honest. Just looked in the mirror and asked the question, how are you going? I'm telling you, it's the most powerful thing that you can do. It's called self-examination. Say, God, are me and you good? He'll talk to you. He wants you to be good. Good in the sense he wants you to know Him. He wants you to find Him, court Him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to help you. Even if you're going through a hard time, He wants to stand right beside you. So you don't have fear. So you don't have anxiety, worries. The peace of God's a promise for His children. Come on, before we pray for your miracle, can we just look in the mirror? Can we just look inside our souls and just say, how am I doing? And I believe that God will talk to you. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to, in a moment, just ask you to close your eyes. I want to explain what's going to happen so you don't feel tricked in any way. But when you close your eyes, isn't it true that your soul and your thoughts are illuminated, they come alive? And I want you to ask this question to your soul. Am I in relationship with God? It's an honest question. God will talk to you. No doubt in my mind. There may not be like an audible voice booming down from heaven, but certainly there'd be a stirring, a prompting inside your soul. And I want you to respond to that. That's God's calling. But I know I've been around too long that the devil does not want you to win. He'll whisper to you. It'll be just a little whisper saying, don't do it. Don't you do it. Don't lift your hand. Don't give your life to Christ. Don't rededicate your life to the Lord. But you don't listen to the devil, not today. Say, devil, get off. I'm going to practice what I know. I'm going to come back to a good God. My marriage is going to be healed. My life is going to turn around. Everything's about to change. Devil, get off in the name of Jesus. As you're pondering that thought, I'm going to pray for you. Even if you're watching online, I want you to do this. At the end of the prayer, just where you sit it, if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord or pray a prayer asking Christ to come into your life, I want you to lift your hand. I'll see it. I ask you to put it down. Then all together, we're going to pray a prayer so you don't feel alone or embarrassed. But I'm believing that God sees everything, every heart today. So come on, friends, why don't we just do that right now? Just close your eyes. Pray that prayer. Am I in relationship with God? God's talking. For some people, even just to close your eyes and to look in the mirror, as it were, to look inside your soul would be a hard thing, but I want you to do it. You've come this far. Let me pray for you as you think about that, pray about that. God, I thank you for every new person who's here today. Maybe you've been here first time, second time, maybe visiting from another church, watching online. You're saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God, but if I'm honest, I'm not in a relationship with him. But something has to turn for me. When I was praying about these meetings, God showed me clearly that there were numerous people here saying, I cannot have another year like last year. Something has to turn for me. And you know the point of difference is you're away from God, but you need to come back. Or maybe you're saying, Andrew, it is sin that's separating me from God. A wrong relationship, a secret sin, a sin that maybe nobody else would know about, but God sees everything. Or maybe you hear you say, Andrew, if I was to face death like you had to, when you had leukemia as a teenager, if I was to walk out of this room and get hit by a car, stand before God, I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. I don't know where I'd be. But Andrew, would you pray with me so I can have a relationship with God, walk in that relationship, have an assurance of my salvation? Come on, friend, nobody's looking around, just me. Say, Andrew, include me in that prayer. I want you to shoot up your hand just right now so I can see it. I ask you to put it down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Over the very back, thank you. Who else? Thank you, thank you. Who else? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Over this side, who else? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Show me, thank you, friend. Who else? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Thank you, thank you. I see those hands as well. Who else? Maybe you're sitting here thinking, should I or shouldn't I? Friend, how do you think the devil's going to come and talk to you? Do you think he's going to be like some cartoon character standing before you in a red suit holding a pitchfork? No. He's going to whisper to you. He's going to say, don't you do it. You tell him, not today. Today's about me, my life, my miracle. Something's going to shift for me. Come on, friend. Practice what you know. Give God this moment. Lift your hand. One more time, I'm looking. Who else? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Thank you. More hands are going up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else? Thank you, thank you. Who else? You're saying, Andrew, me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Every person that lifted your hand, or maybe you didn't, but you know you should. Could you do me the honor of just lifting it one more time, just so I can see? In fact, I like to count. The reason I count is because I believe God counts. He sees everything. Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. At least 50 people. Come on, let's give God a big clap and thank Him. Oh, come on, Rock. Let's give God the biggest shout. Can we all stand? We're going to pray this prayer together. I want you to put your hand on your heart as we pray, because I believe that's what you're opening your life up to. Opening this prayer is like a gateway prayer to your heart. The Bible says when you pray this prayer, the old person goes and the new person comes. What's that about? Your old spirit's gone and a new spirit, God's spirit, comes into your life. You're born again. Come on, pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, tonight I'm asking you into my life as my Lord and Savior. God, I give you my life. I give you total control. Help me live for you every day in your presence. Forgive me for any wrongs, for any sin. Because I know you died on the cross to take away the sin of the world. Take away my sin. Today, I am a child of God. Now I want to pray for you. God, I thank you for every person that lifted their hand or prayed the prayer online, prayed the prayer in this room, didn't lift their hand but prayed it with sincerity. God sees everything, friends. God, I pray you touch their lives. Lord, I thank you that your promises as a child of God is that you remember our sin no more. That we are your children. We're a part of a family, the family of God. And this house is the house of miracles, the house of blessing. Everything is going to change. Everything is going to turn around. God, I pray that you would help us practice what we already know to be right. God, we thank you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God some praise in this place. Isn't he good?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.